I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Kyle Porter. I'm Chip Patterson. Kyle's home. I'm not. Kyle, how's it going?
Did you travel to Bethpage today?
I did not travel to Bethpage today. Was there a media event? Like, could somebody have played Bethpage on the Monday after in the similar way that they've got the lottery for the Masters?
Well, there were some friends of CBS that played Bethpage. Let's just say that. Nice. I don't think it's a I think it's a pretty selective lottery. I don't know. We could have hopped on there. I don't know.
You got to play Glen Oaks though. So that was fun.
Yeah, it's so shout out to Glen Oaks. They Sean Martin and I went up there. They were having a corporate outing at noon, but they let us just have basically a run of the place for the morning on Monday. And it was really fun. It was, I don't know if architecture nerds would love the course, but who cares? I loved it. We had a blast. And it's the course for people that maybe don't know of Glen Oaks. It's the course where the way I explained it to you that DJ Clown Spieth in the playoff a couple of years ago in the FedEx Cup play. I think it was the Barclays at the time. I think it's the Northern Trust now. I don't know. I can't keep track of all the sponsorships and names or whatever, but everybody remembers the line that DJ took on 18 in the playoff to beat Spieth. And that's where we played.
Right over water. And one of those things where if you were to look at the angles on your TV, he was maybe even like a full 30 degrees to the left of where Spieth was.
Yeah, you're like, you see the shot tracer and you're like, oh, is that off the property? And then it's, and then it's like, he's got like a 25 yard chip to win. And, yeah, so much like DJ over Spieth, I took down Sean Martin and a friend of the program, but we had a great time, and it was a really fun, good ending to a long but really good trip.
So with some time to be able to get back home and continue to ruminate on Brooks Koepka, that's kind of where I want to start. You know, I felt like the conversations on Monday were like, very quickly, a lot of lines are being drawn to Tiger Woods. There's a lot of math being run in terms of, all right, so Brooks has four under the age of 30. You know, what does this mean moving forward? I feel like the clip is unsustainable, and I think that we talked about that a little bit. But, you know, as you're starting to get a more clear-eyed view of everything that just happened at Bethpage, you know, how are you readjusting where Brooks is rated or considered in your world?
I don't know, man. I've gone back and forth on this because I don't know. Everybody's like throwing out just absurd numbers.
Oh, I think he can get to 10. How about that?
Can he?
Yes.
I mean, I guess like, so he's going to have more than Phil's career from here on out. That's crazy. That's insane.
Yeah, but
like, there's only four of these, and I get it. Like, and this is the part that you start looking at, and you're like, well, I mean, and we're going to talk about this in a second, but going into the week, like, are there only like five guys that can win this? That's sort of the theme that you've heard from different people, and I think it might be true. And so if that's true, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, Koepka's in that group, and if he plays the way he's been, I don't know. I get really wary of right after somebody wins a major or wins a couple majors or wins four of eight, we start doing, and we did it with Spieth, right? You're like, oh man, 12, 15, I don't know, 30. What's he going to get to?
Well, I like 10 because it shocks the person that I'm talking to, because the other side of my, you know, argument is like, yeah, he could win 10, but guess what? He could also never win another major. And I think a lot of that is up to Brooks Koepka. A lot of that is up to fate and fortune, and you know how he adjusts to his new status, and how, you know, whether his body holds up. I mean, let's not forget, like, a wrist injury knocked him out of the Masters in the middle of this run. Like, there are a lot of different things. Rory wasn't his ankle that he messed up playing soccer.
Yeah, that was before the 15 Open at St. Andrews, which he would have won by 11.
But I mean, that's, so it's like, I have bracketed my expectations for Brooks Koepka's like major total. It could be as low as four. He never wins again. It could be as many as 10. And I'm in that prediction, I'm expecting he plays until about 35, 36, and then maybe walks away earlier than a lot of other superstars.
Yeah, but what's he going to go do? Like, just go lift every day? I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like I think that guys, when they're in their 20s or their early 30s or whatever, they're like, oh, yeah, you just, you know, might not do this forever. And it's like, well, okay, sure. Yeah, I get it. Like, you got all the money and you've got all the trophies and whatever. But, like, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to go, like, build golf courses?
No. Like, I mean, Brooks Koepka's not. Jordan Spieth is going to have his name on like every golf course across the country.
Yeah, I know he is. I don't know. I don't know. And it's going to be interesting, right? Because you see so much money in the game now that it's like, Justin Thomas can retire tomorrow and live a very comfortable life for 100 years. And so, like, you could do it, but I don't know. We don't have like a real solid history of athletes like retiring young and it going that well, you know. Like, I just, guys want to come back and do whatever. But yeah, I think Koepka's gonna. I think that. Did you see the number that Vegas set
for his over under? No.
What do you think they set it at for his career?
Major wins, 8.5.
Yeah, I guess it was when he's 50. So like in 2040 or something. Yeah, 2040. They set it at 7.5.
Okay. A little bit below. I think that's a good number.
I go under.
And look, that's not crazy, because there's still the other side of this, which is, as we're looking at Brooks Koepka and this particular run, a lot of it has been in the unique position of, you know, having that, like, going in and trying to prove people wrong and the chip on the shoulder. And I think that matters. And I am definitely like a sucker who's buying into the narrative, like somebody who only is looking at things in terms of, you know, your strokes, your numbers, the, like all of the parts of Brooks Koepka's game that are lining up to say like this and is good, therefore his game is going to be this. But I a lingering takeaway for me is that do you think that Brooks Koepka was defensive or disinterested or some combination of both on the weekend at Bethpage?
What do you mean by defensive?
Playing defensive.
No, I don't think he was defensive.
Okay. You just think he was off, and then all of a sudden he just found ways to grind out pars and still like keep himself from putting up a big number.
Yeah. I think he might have got a little, I don't think disinterested, but just like, he's not good whenever everybody is like praising him, you know, kissing his butt.
So,
like,
you believe the chip on the shoulder matters?
I think it does. Like, and he said it on Sunday. I can't remember if we talked about this. We probably did on our Sunday night deal, but he said in his presser, like, it helped me that they started chaining DJ at me.
Oh, that's right. You did mention that.
So, yeah.
Okay. So for that reason, that would be looking at Brooks Koepka playing it forward and being like, well, if everyone's going to praise him, I don't know if we're going to be seeing the same results. Like the clip is unsustainable for sure.
Here's the thing. I think he should, and this is not it's not an original take. Other people have said it. I think that he should just not play except for majors. And then people will be like, oh, well, he should do things that create like friction for people to like come at him. And then just keep racking up majors. Because I think that like I think he thrives on the friction. I mean, I wish you could have seen the look he gave whenever KBV asked him about what's the most slighted you've ever felt. I mean, he was pissed. I was like, is he going to come into the you know, chairs in the media center? Is he going to start throwing chairs in the media center? Like, what's going on here?
You. He just like jumps over the table and starts coming at KBV.
It was crazy. But yeah, I don't know. I had a good point and I just lost it, but I don't know. Like what? Oh, I know what I was going to say. You know what else he brought up in his presser?
What?
He brought up the 9 second place finishes, which is what you've been saying for like 6 months now.
Yeah.
9 runners up in PGA Tour events.
It's not like he's been totally checked out and missing cuts at PGA right. Tour events.
Right.
He has been right there and competitive.
But when he was asked about it, he got asked about it on Sunday also, and he just like gave this huge, like, he looked like my daughter, like rolling her eyes. Like just this huge like, oh my gosh.
Brooks
like,
has some big pretty eyes. Okay. Him rolling his eyes would catch my attention. Absolutely.
It was very, I think he followed it up with like, it's not like I'm not trying, you know? And, yeah, I don't know. There's just, it's such a weird, like, I don't know what to do with all of it because I think that the trajectory was somebody like Rory who graduated from winning on the European Tour to winning on the PGA Tour to winning majors to winning lots of majors. Same with Spieth, having success, winning tournaments, winning a major, winning lots of majors. Like there's just this, and even going back to those guys' amateur days, like there's this very clear trajectory. And with Koepka, there's just not that clear of a trajectory. He was a good college player. He was good on the European Tour. He had a pretty solid start to his PGA Tour career, but we're talking about like historic, like Seve and Faldo and Gary Player, like just unbelievable company that he's like his major championship trajectory is toward, and that hasn't been his history. And so it's my mind like doesn't know what to do with all of that.
Do we overrate winning majors?
So I came across this great quote. I was reading, I had a bunch of old Golf Digest to knock out on my flight home, and I came across this quote from Johnny Miller, who said, players who win a bunch of majors are special creatures. It's not normal. Under heavy pressure, their brains are able to process information smoothly. But if it's not in your DNA, I don't think you can really learn it. And I thought that was such a fascinating quote. And especially if you apply it to kind of the modern day and specifically to Koepka and the run that he's on.
I think that, I think that we choose to value the majors, and by choosing to value the majors, we create the intangibles that make them interesting, fascinating, and intriguing. Right? Like it's a social construct, like the value of a dollar. We have all agreed that these things are worth more. And when you look at the purse, they literally are worth more. But with the money in golf being what it is, I don't think that's the motivating factor for the golfers out there. I think it's more for the intangible value that everyone has agreed is going to be packed into this one event or these four events, as opposed to the other 40 on the yearly calendar.
Yeah, and it's almost like what Koepka is doing is that divide is getting wider instead of narrower, because essentially what he's saying is like, look, you guys or who I don't know who people think like are like do people think that players value majors the most, or media or fans or whatever? I don't know what people think about that, but he's almost saying like, look, these are the only things that matter. I don't know if he thinks that, or if he thinks the media thinks that, or if he thinks the fans think that. I don't know, but that's essentially what he's saying. And I mean, he's kind of right, I guess. I don't know. I still go back to like the DJ thing of he's won 20 times, but only one major. Koepka's won 6, but 4 majors. And yet in my head, and maybe this is just me, maybe this is a me problem, in my head, I still think of DJ as being better. I guess. I don't know. Is that, am I an idiot for thinking that?
No, because we're still in Act 1, or maybe we're in Act 2 of the Brooks Koepka career, and we've lived with DJ for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just been more data points. There's been a lot going on. And this is again a previously stated stance here. We just need more time with Brooks.
Well, and Sean and I were talking about this, or maybe he brought it up. Did he bring up the Padraig Harrington thing on Sunday?
Briefly.
About how Padraig said like you get one or two like 20 month heaters in your career, and so you better win some when you do that.
Yeah.
And that's a guy who won 3 majors in essentially a year and a half.
But when you think about Padraig Harrington, where does he fit in among his peers in your mind?
I when I think of him, I don't think of him as being a 3 major talent.
Right.
You know? And so maybe we do overvalue like winning majors.
Coming up on the other side, getting into more thoughts from Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods, Dustin Johnson, and more. All that coming up next.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And now it's time for Stock Up, Stock Down, brought to you by TD Ameritrade, coming out of just a massive event in terms of where we're positioning our golfers and how we forecast them out for the rest of the season. So let's start with Jordan Spieth. You know, we've got a finish on the leaderboard, his first top 20 finish of the season of 2019. He's got, you know, all these pieces moving in the right direction. He told everyone going into the PGA he felt like his worst golf was behind him. You even pointed out, and it was interesting to, like you said, I never thought I would be, did you say nonplussed? Did you, like, I didn't think I would ever be.
I think I said this little interest or something.
Yeah, this disinterested with Jordan Spieth being T3 on the leaderboard at a major on the edge of a slam. So high finish on the leaderboard, even though he was never really in it. So Jordan Spieth, stock up, stock down moving forward.
I think I'm going down, Chip.
Excuse me?
I think I'm going stock down.
Why?
Well, here's why. So I'm looking at his numbers right now. So Spieth finishes 49th in the field from tee to green. That's not very good. 49th tee to green. He gained 2 strokes on the field from tee to green all week. That's it. And with his approach shots, he lost strokes. He lost strokes to the field in approaching the green. And the way he made it all up was that, I mean, he had, and other people have said this, he had one of the great putting weeks of his career. I mean, so he finishes 5th in the field on Thursday, 3rd on Friday, 34th on Saturday, and 4th on Sunday. He gained almost 11 strokes with his putter. That is not, so that's, what is that, almost 3 around. I mean, even when he was putting really well, he would gain like 0.7 around. I mean, this was like an unbelievably good putting performance. And that's just, I want to see it go the other way. I want to see him elite from tee to green and have an average putting round and contend in that way.
Fair. And I will agree that I'm not looking at this finish as this leaderboard finish as something that suggests a big turnaround or something that should be celebrated beyond, you know, what it was. Like it doesn't have any greater meaning than, you know, you finished this many strokes behind the winner. I believe that you pointed out Bethpage, the way that the course is just so brutal and such a, you know, mentally exhausting and physically exhausting that Bethpage kind of falls into not necessarily Jordan Spieth playing excellent, but at least Jordan Spieth being better than the field just to be able to survive that. And it's not that I'm going to give him a pass on not having great tee to green stats or great approach stats, but I will understand that. I mean, I'll understand that this to me never was going to be a course that Jordan Spieth was going to be able to point and shoot, right? Like he wasn't going to be able to hit every fairway. He wasn't going to be able to have clean looks into greens. And for him to just kind of, you know, figure it out, just to Spieth it out and still end up high on the leaderboard, I am not going stock down, but I will not overvalue Spieth's stock just because of the high leaderboard finish, understanding that there was still plenty that was wrong with his game. I mean, he was going to grind. He's been grinding forever. And that's like, oh, things aren't going well? Well, guess what? Spieth has been in a headspace to be able to survive things not going well for a long time now.
Well, and I mean, it was so crazy following them on Saturday, him and Koepka. Like, you just, I mean, if you close your eyes and listen to them hit the ball, you'd be like, well, one of these guys has, you know, 3 majors and the other has none. Like you wouldn't have thought that they both had, at the time, they both had 3 majors. I mean, and even in watching it, it was even crazy. I mean, Spieth was like, he couldn't find the center of the club face. I mean, it was unbelievable. And to do what he did, I mean, he should not have been contending on that course. And so I'm with you. Like, I think it's mega impressive that he was able to finish top 3. I mean, I would have said top 15, you know?
Right.
Which, by the way, is it a good thing that, like, looking back, there were probably, and people have brought this up too, there are probably only like 5 guys that could have won that tournament. Like, do you like that? Is that good? Is this what we want golf to be?
I mean, that's a U.S. Open though, right?
Yeah.
We went to a U.S. Open track and we got the kind of leaderboard of like Tiger winning at Bethpage when it was the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Like,
it's weird because you go into a week and you're like, well, okay, Kevin Kisner's playing like the best golf of his life. And there's just like the probability of him beating Koepka wherever Koepka finishes on the leaderboard this week is so low. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And so it's really weird to go into a week knowing that.
Well, Brooks Koepka already told you he only has to beat 15 guys.
I know. He's kind of right.
He's right.
Like at the beginning of the week when he said that, I was like, wow. And then at the end of the week, you're thinking about it and you're like, yeah, I mean, there are 15 guys that are really good, but still, that's a pretty small number, and it's kind of true.
Yeah. All right, what about Tiger? Obviously missed the cut. Frustrating. Stock up, stock down.
I'm going stock down, and I heard there was some chatter, Chip, behind the scenes chatter. And this is not groundbreaking. It's a rumor. It's a rumor. I'm not breaking news, none of that. There was a lot of talk about how Tiger, and I think this is sort of I don't know. I think it's true of a lot of guys who are young. And once they reach this peak, there was another Johnny Miller quote in here that he basically said, hold on, I'll find it in a minute. But essentially he was saying, you have so much drive and so much hunger when you're young. And then when you reach the peak, you're like, okay, you look around and you're like, what now? What do I do now?
Right.
And that's sort of where we've seen Rory be there, right? The last 5 years, Koepka's gotten there. And so it's like, now what? And I think with Tiger, you have this almost second version of that where he's older and he reaches the mountaintop again. And anyway, the rumor was that, or the thing that people were saying was that Tiger, like within his circle was like, he just wanted one more, like just one more major.
And now he's got it.
And now he's got it. And I think that like he may or may not have said that. I have no idea. That was just sort of the rumor that was floating around. And I don't think that necessarily contributed to him playing poorly, but I do think there's some real like connection between like reaching the mountaintop again and you're like, okay, I did it and I did it at Augusta and that matters. And I just don't know if, and I think he's competitive enough that it's like, okay, yeah, I know I said that, but I just want two more now, you know, like I don't know if that statement even matters, but I thought that was a really interesting sort of nugget that was kind of flying around in the back rooms of the PGA Championship.
So stock down?
Yeah, stock down. He'll probably win Pebble.
Well, I factor it in more when we saw him coming down the stretch, right? And we talked about that where, and I think we talked about it on Friday night show, just the idea that if I'm reading body language and if I'm overstepping my bounds, I saw a player who seemed to accept his fate that he wasn't going to play to the weekend. And having seen desperation from players on the cut line in other tournaments and in other situations, I didn't see that desperation from Tiger Woods. It seemed like he was like, well, you know, we're going to play out the string and I didn't make the cut. Okay, let's just get on the yacht and head home.
Yeah, totally.
And that's got to come from the, like, I mean, I hesitate to use the word complacency, but I don't have a better word for it. But just that feel, that little, maybe even a slight sliver of complacency that comes with getting that one major that he was looking for.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when you combine that with the reality that he knows he's only got X number of shots left in the back. Man, did we talk about this? The New York Times article?
No.
About how, I can't remember who wrote it. I think it was Karen Kraus, but I'm not positive. Just about like the interviewing doctors and saying like, look, this is not a long-term deal. Like it might be longer term than if Kyle Porter got it or Chip Patterson got the surgery, but eventually this deteriorates again. And I think that Tiger either believes that or
is aware of it.
Yeah. And I think that it's like, okay, well you're definitely not coming back from 17 down to Brooks Koepka. So let's say, I mean, you know, 145 swings at Bethpage on a weekend is like 245 somewhere else.
right.
So let's save those and let's get to Pebble, on to Pebble.
And he's not going to play again, or is he going to play Memorial?
I don't know. Is he going to play Memorial? Is he going to play anything? Does anything matter?
Get out of here. Stock down on Tiger Woods. All right, one more again for Stock Up, Stock Down, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. Dustin Johnson, Stock Up, Stock Down.
Stock Up. Yeah. People just ripping on DJ. Oh, typical DJ, you know, typical DJ, major championship. DJ, how about this, Chip? DJ is like 3 6-foot putts and 3 swings from winning the Players, the Masters, and the PGA this year.
I mean, he is a 3-jack away from having won Chambers Bay and having all of this chatter not necessarily be as loud or as crazy.
I know, like, you can't get into the, oh, well, you know, Louis Oosthuizen would have the career slam. He's 5 swings from the career slam or whatever. I love that stat. But, I mean, seriously, he loses the Players by 3. And again, he missed like six putts inside of 10 feet that week, or that Sunday, the last day. It was crazy. He loses the Masters by 1, and then he loses the PGA by 2. Like, I'm in. Like, I'm stock up. Like, he's playing really, really good golf. And I get it. Like, I really struggle and wrestle with the idea of, like, oh, does he have what it takes to close and, it, you know, all that stuff. I still am not totally sure what to do with it. Because in a vacuum, Brooks Koepka shot a 74 on Sunday. And I know it's different because he shot a 63 on Thursday, but DJ's playing really well, and I think he is probably going to win the U.S. Open at Pebble.
Woo! I already picked DJ for the PGA, so I can't ride with it again. But I agree on the stock up for Dustin Johnson. I've been vocal that I believe that he's in a good spot right now. I like his game. I support that. And that has been Stock Up, Stock Down, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. Our thanks to TD Ameritrade, the presenting sponsor of this show. All right. It's time for the stat of the day.
Okay, I got a good one for you, Chip. Okay. 10 guys have multiple top fives at majors since the start of 2018. So there's been, what is that, 6 majors since the start of 2018? And 10 guys have multiple top fives. So we're not talking top 20s. We're not talking made cuts. We're not even talking top 10s. We're talking top 5 in a major championship since the start of 2018. How many of those can you name?
Let me sit down. They've got multiple top 5s.
Multiple top 5s.
Before I rattle off the ones I feel good about, can I just throw out ones that I don't feel good about?
Yeah.
Rory.
Got it.
He's one of them?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I think I can let this fly now. Tiger.
Yeah.
Frankie.
Yeah.
Brooks.
Yeah.
DJ.
Yeah.
Rose.
No.
Ooh. Okay. Xander Schauffele.
Yeah.
Multiple top fives. It's not Patrick Cantlay because he fell down to T9 at the Masters.
Right. I think you lack 5 or 4.
I lack 4?
Yeah.
Justin Thomas?
No. People are just hollering at their radios right now. At their, I don't know why I said radios, at their iPhones.
I don't know. Who's the rest?
Finau.
Finau, all right.
Paddy yeah. Reed?
Yeah.
Spieth.
Should have gone with Spieth.
Rom? Did you say Rom?
I did not say Rom.
Okay, Rom. And did you say Koepka?
Yeah.
Okay. So you just lacked Rom, Reed, Spieth, and Finau.
Yeah, the ones I came off the top with were Rory, Tiger, Frankie, Brooks, DJ, and Rose. Rose was wrong. But yeah, those are the only ones I felt really good about.
Xander was a good pull, though. So Brooks has 4 top fives. And he's only played in 5 of them. He missed the Masters last year. So he's got 4. DJ's got 3. And then everybody else has 2.
Wow. Ah, man. What, hey, real quick question before we put the PGA to bed. Next episode, we'll be looking ahead to Colonial. What's the shot that sticks with you the most from the PGA Championship?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. And I'm glad you just got my little note in our document there, since I just wrote it in there. It's the drive on 15 by Koepka. I mean, it was
on Sunday.
It's hard to, I hope it came across on TV, like how chaotic everything was and just how much was going on. I mean, it was loud and there was just, it was very much. And this is what I wrote on Sunday night, like major championships, if you're the leader and especially if you're like front running, like he was, where you're going, trying to go wire to wire, which by the way, he turned himself into like this wire to wire underdog, which is hilarious. Even though he was the favorite from literally before the tournament until the last putt, mm-hmm. like he was never not the favorite,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. It's just, it's what he does. But it got so chaotic, and he had every opportunity to just stumble in 42 on the back. Your career is just, everything's in question. But he hit a 350-yard drive, his longest drive of the week on 15, and the sound that it made and the way that he hit it, that, I mean, it was awesome. And that's the thing that I'll take away. That, like, that's the shot that I will remember. Do you have one just from watching on TV?
All right, so I saw your note maybe about 5 minutes ago. I pulled up his scorecard and I was trying to find exactly where it was. That one was really good. I almost pulled up on 10. He hit it 347 yards, and then on the approach, stuck it to 2 feet. That was a birdie there. I mean,
yeah, that the shot into 10 was sick.
So sick. His driving average on Sunday was 344 yards.
Yeah, he was locked in. He was fired up.
I was gonna say one of the drives, honestly, and I couldn't remember which one it was, and it might have been, you know, a shot that sticks out to me. So the answer is I don't have a particular shot, but most of it's been off the tee. And like when he was playing with Molinari and Woods, and they would just do the like, well, here's Molinari, and 75 yards forward, here's Brooks Koepka.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
that stuff was stupid. Maybe the shot into the 10 green, I'll agree with you that given the stakes of the tournament, for him to just lash it, find the fairway, then hit the green on 15, that was absolutely huge. And that stopped the bogey streak, right?
The one
11, 15, 12, yeah. 13, 14 yeah. were the bogeys. I don't have one particular one, but that's definitely a good one.
So I found the Johnny Miller quote from earlier.
All right.
He said, I'm kind of pulling it out of a bigger quote. He said, I was fighting the fact that I had sort of done all the things I wanted to do in the game. I was just content. And when you're content, you're basically done. I was happy. Everything was great. It was like, well, that's done. I climbed that mountain. Check out the view and enjoy it. Be a good dad and go fishing. I had lost that passionate love for the game. I really can honestly say that at that point, it became work for me. And I think you're seeing guys, we'll wrap it on this. I think you're seeing guys at a young, I mean, what drives Rory? You know, we talk about this all the time, but I think that'll be one super interesting thing about Koepka, and maybe for his own sake, he should only play majors. I'm kind of being facetious, but not really. Like, you don't want to get lost in this, like, just the grind of the tour life. And I think he does a pretty good job of that, like, of, you know, just having a, just doing other stuff, you know, whatever he does, going to beaches and taking Instagram photos and working out. And I don't know what all he does, but I think that's a really fascinating prism through which to view guys like Koepka, Spieth, Rory. I don't think JT's quite gotten there yet because he's only got the one major, but I think he will. And I think it's like, well, what do you do after that? And I think that's a question that we'll only be able to answer years from now, but it's something that it's kind of constantly like rolling through the back of my mind as I write about and think about this stuff.
Well, you know, now that Instagram is starting to take off the likes from Instagram, you know, that's really going to hurt the influencer world on Instagram. And, you know, without the nice little retirement role of being Jenna Sims prop in Instagram photos, I don't know what Brooks Koepka is going to do. He's probably going to have to play golf.
Wait, they're taking off the likes?
They're experimenting with it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? Why?
Because they're tired of the, like, they want to create a more like a more open and inclusive Instagram world where the number of likes on a photo isn't as valued.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's I'm already out, so it's too late for me. But I appreciate the notion that they've realized that it's created some toxicity with the number with the likes counting.
Yeah, I haven't posted on. Nobody wants to hear about our Instagram lives, but yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah,
but yeah, so I don't know. I thought that Miller quote was fascinating, and
we'll see.
I think Koepka going forward is fascinating as well.
He is Kyle Porter. You can follow him on Twitter @KylePorterCBS. You can follow me @Chip_Patterson. Kyle, thank you very much.